2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. For so marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now I'm going to read much of what I have prepared tonight, try to stay on track, stay on time. But we are in a battle, are we not? Satan is a master of deceit, and he has at least two goals. His first goal is to keep those who have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, is to keep them away from him. His second goal is to keep those who have been saved, those who have come to Christ, to keep those people spiritually stunted. And one way these goals will be achieved, I believe, is by disguising God's book, the Bible. Satan has disguised God's book down through the ages, and we see this done through the critical Greek text, and now through our English versions. Satan knows God's Word. In fact, he knows it better than you and I. He knows Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He knows 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Southern Baptist, Paige Patterson, who is not in our camp, but he said this, and I thought it was worth quoting, quote, space scientists tell us that minute error in the mathematical calculation for a moonshot can result in a total failure of the rocket to hit the moon. A slightly altered doctrine of salvation can cause a person to miss heaven also, end of quote. And that is exactly what we find today with the disguising of the Word of God. And I think we saw that today brought out in our studies by our other brothers. If Satan loses the battle for the soul, he will certainly try to keep that person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will try to keep that person spiritually stunted. And often he does that through a disguised Bible. Words are very important in the communication of truth, and therefore it's very important to the growth of the Christian to know the truth of God's Word in its entirety. Bob Sheehan, who also is not a friend of ours, says, quote, it might be argued that as long as we have the general idea of what God said, then the loss of exact words does not matter. This is not true. Important arguments are hinged in Scripture on individual words, verb tenses, phrases, etc. The exact words are therefore of great importance. End of quote. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Words are important. We who belong to the Dean Burgon Society, we would say that words are important by Jeremiah 15:16, Job 23:12, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Acts 17:11, and Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Norman Geisler, I think I pronounced his name wrong, in his book, Inerrancy, on page 211, says, quote, words, after all, are the vehicles and guardians of meaning. If we lose the words, we shall have lost the sense, too. End of quote. I wish you'd follow that, don't you? It is of utmost importance, therefore, that we have the words that God gave. It is in consideration of this issue that I want us to look at least three areas tonight. The first area is the ministry, the second area is movements, and the third area is that dealing with missions and missionaries, of which I probably and more familiar. First of all, ministry, that is our churches and our Bible colleges. I've heard often this saying, I'm sure you have too, as the Bible colleges go, so go the churches. And it is very true. Our churches feed the students to the colleges, and in turn, the colleges feed the students back to the churches as pastors, as deacons, as laymen, as missionaries. When I did my undergraduate work, as I mentioned this morning, I went believing that the professor knew more than I. And I should have gone that way, and I know that the professor did know more than I did in many areas. As I said this morning, my doctrine professor used the 1901 American Standard Version, and he often said, he was a dear man of God, but he often said in front of us freshmen that it was the closest to the original. I accepted this statement, for what did I know? In Greek class, we used, as I said, the second edition of the United Bible Society's Greek New Testament. I also accepted this. When I did my graduate work, I was again faced with other versions of the Bible. And the president of the seminary wrote this, quote, "The King James Version is used in many of our classes, as is also the New American Standard Version, which likewise is regarded as reliable. In all probability, the New International Version will be the text used in the classroom. At this moment, it seems to be a quality translation, but needs some time for further testing." I like the way they say those things, don't you? "We do not recommend the Revised Standard Version nor the Living Bible. The RSV translators, in some instances, reveal a bias against fundamental positions. The Living Bible should be regarded, as stated in the title, a paraphrase or a commentary rather than a translation," end of quote. Now my question is, what tests would that president take the NIV through? These are just two schools that I am acquainted with from personal education that are turning out preachers and missionaries. I ask, is there any wonder that there are so many taking the critical view of the received text and of our King James Bible? Now let's come back to the churches and the pastors. I received a letter from a pastor who wrote to me in regards to my stand on the traditional Greek text and the King James Bible. And I quote, "Your doctrinal statement includes a paragraph under the Scriptures communicating your belief that the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received text are the preferred text, and that since these underlie the KJV, we might assume that this is the preferred translation." I wonder how he came up with that. "As you know, such a statement does not appear in the articles of," and he gives the name of the church, "and we would not be comfortable with such a statement." It is not the only translation through which we believe God has providentially preserved His Word," end of quote. Another dear pastor friend gave me some booklets that he had prepared for new believers. And one of the studies deals that he prepared himself deals with the Scriptures and translations. And under the heading, "Why the New Translation," he writes this. He's a graduate of Cedarville College. Quote, "The King James Version is difficult for many to understand. The newer translations are geared to words that are understandable for our times. Many words of the 1611 King James are obsolete in this 20th century. Just as society in general no longer uses horses and buggy to travel, kerosene lamps for study, so many of the 15th century words are no longer in use today. Thus, the need for newer translations so that our generation can more easily understand the Bible," end of quote. Now listen, that's exactly what most of us heard when we went to college, didn't we? These new translations, as I believed for many years, are not just an update of the King James. This pastor now picks up the manuscript argument, and I quote, "Since the work of the 1611 King James, there have been many more ancient manuscripts discovered. We have copies of Scripture that are 700 years older than those used by the translators of the King James. These older copies are thus believed to be closer to the original manuscript." End of quote. Now, he's only parroting that which he learned. Now, Dean Burgon, of course, answers this argument of this pastor, of whom this pastor would have never read, or probably, perhaps, never heard. On page 124 of the Revision Revised, he wrote, quote, "Thus, that we enjoy access to suppose from 1,000 to 2,000 more manuscripts that were available when the Textus Receptus was formed, but 19/20 of those documents for any use which has been made of them might just as well be still lying in the monastic libraries from which they were obtained. True, that 4 out of 5 oldest uncials have come to light since the year 1628, but who knows how to use them?" End of quote. The authors of the New Testament in the original Greek write this, quote, "Of over 5,000 total continuous text and lectionary manuscripts, 90% or more contain a basically Byzantine text form." End of quote. Now, the pastor I was reading from in the Bible study book, quoting again, and he gives now a list of books for the new disciples in his church to read. These are on the versions, and these are the lists. Which translation by Stuart Custer, Bob Jones. What You Should Know About Bible Translations by Christian Wiese, Back to the Bible. And it says, quote, "The three contemporary versions this author recommends are the New Berkeley Version, 1969, New American Standard, and NIV. And Mr. Wiese, sovereignty will cause the best translation to rise to the top and bless worthy. You know where the believers, new believers, are going to go in his church. This pastor has swallowed the old argument presented in most of our colleges. Not only has he swallowed them, but he's now teaching them to his new disciples. As the Bible colleges go, so goes. Now let's look at the impact on our churches through the movements. Now I'm talking about associations and fellowship of churches. If you're, it doesn't seem like anymore you can be independent, that's being rebellious. But anyway, if you're in an association, nothing wrong with associations. My pastor has a book out on associations. And there's nothing wrong with being in an association, fellowship. We need fellowship. But I'm looking at an association I've been in most of my saved life, and that is the GARBC. No longer in it. The Regular Baptist Literature, item number 6 on page 41, includes this statement, quote, "This original and fundamental principle characterized the GARBC in its inception and makes it necessary for it to stop and consider how far it can officially cooperate with religious leaders who endorse the Revised Standard Version of the Bible and declare that they do not wish to be called fundamentalists, but conservative liberal." End of quote. Now that comes from one of their item literatures that they put out. Now I ask, has the GARBC changed in regards to the acceptance of versions which are not much better, if any, than the RSC? Now Brother Bob Stewart, I quote him from his paper Removing the Landmark, and he has documented the removal of 1 John 5:7 and Acts 8:37 and Mark 16:19 from the Regular Baptist Article of Faith. Now, how did that happen? Well, Dr. David Nettleton didn't have an answer for that either, did he? It is due to the critical view many within the association hold of the received text and the King James Bible. And that critical view comes, first of all, from the schools. It comes from the schools. The Regular Baptist Press, I've just had a little war with them. The printing arm of the GRBC will undoubtedly show this critical view. In 1975, Regular Baptist Press published Knowing and Using Your Bible by Wallace Alcorn. One of our brothers mentioned Alcorn this morning. He was pastoring First Baptist Church in Minnesota. What's the city outside where we pastored? Austin, Minnesota. There was also a teacher's manual which included a chart giving preferred English versions by regular Baptist scholars. And I'll say a little later, I hope I have time, Dr. Alcorn was invited by one of our men on the field to come and teach at our Bible college there in Sydney. I'm glad he didn't come. There was also a teacher's manual which included a chart giving preferred English versions by regular Baptist scholars. I'm not a scholar nor the son of a scholar. I'm kind of scared of scholars. Dr. Alcorn wrote, quote, the response rate to the survey questionnaire was 83.37%. And a quote, he stated further that, quote, the point of comparison is not the authorized version or any other one version, but the original language, end of quote. The survey showed that out of 12 versions, the King James was preferred by 52%. That was number 5 out of 12. The American Standard, 60%, the NIV, 59%. Is it any wonder our pastors stand where they do when the scholars who taught them... and warm affection for the authorized version of 1611. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If I treated my wife like that and then came home and said, I love you, she'd run like a little puffy dog. These people don't love the Bible you and I love, and we shouldn't accept what they say on this. He says this is due not only to what God has been pleased to do through it in the past years, but for the abiding worth today. It is acknowledged that the Greek text, the received text on which the AV is based, is not the best currently available. How can you say you've got a good one and then you don't? The original translation would have been even better had the more recently constructed text been available. However, the received text was not corrupt, and variations have not made a bit of difference to doctrine or practice. We've heard that before, haven't we? Because of a better text, greater understanding of the languages, and changes in English since 1611, the AV is not fully adequate for every purpose, end of quote. Now, that's from Regular Baptist Press. And many of you men order that and use it in your churches. Now, we need to start looking at this. You need to start writing some letters. Doesn't this all sound familiar? Dr. Alcorn, as I said earlier, was asked by ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, if you don't know what ABWE stands for, to come and teach in our Bible college over in Australia, Sydney, Australia, but was unable to for various reasons. In the RBP Teacher's Manual for Choosing to be Spiritual, put out by RBP, the author, who was a professor at Cedarville, makes a note concerning 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. This got me into hot water, I'll never know. The note says, in the teacher's manual, you know, you have those little notes over on the side where the author gives you some little side bits. He says that the word for flesh in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 1 Corinthians is sarkanos, while the Greek word in 3:3 is sarkakos. The author is correct if he is using the United Bible Society's Greek New Testament, but if he's using the Stephens 1550 text, he is wrong. The point is, and I tried to point this out to Brother Miller when he was in Australia, the point is that the author speaks of a difference without telling the Sunday school teacher what Greek text he is using. And that makes a lot of difference. The Sunday school teacher will probably go ahead and quote the author without thinking to check out what text he's using. I mentioned this to Dr. Vernon Miller when he was in Australia because one of his points for RBP material to our men and many of our Australians are King James because they believe the Greek text that underlies this Bible. He told us, because he knew what we stood for, he says that RBP material only uses the King James Version. Well, after we got into a letter writing contest back and forth, he writes to me on November 16th, 1992, and he says this, The translations approved, this is by regular Baptist press, in 1963 and reaffirmed in 1974 and 1979 are as follows. King James Version, New Schofield Reference Bible, American Standard Version 1901, New Berkeley Version, Williams, and Rotherham. Quotes may be used from the New International and New King James. Now, in the Williams, I've just taken time to write down what the foreword to the Williams says. And this is by Charles Williams himself. This is not a word-for-word translation like an interlinear. It is rather a translation of the thought of the writers with a reproduction of their diction and style. Greek idioms are not brought over into our translation, but are expressed in corresponding English idioms, which express the same thoughts as the Greek idioms. It is the thoughts of our New Testament, not its single words, that we have tried to translate. Our translation is based on the Westcott and Hort Greek text, recognized as the authoritative text throughout the English-speaking world. When there are conflicting variations in the Greek manuscripts, we have generally followed the Vatican manuscript, which is the oldest and usually conceded the best. End of quote. That's right. Anyway, that's RBP. As go the colleges, so go the churches, and so go the association of churches. My friend, there's nothing new under the sun. Thirdly, missions and missionaries. Our missionaries are trained in the same schools, and most of them will hold the same position on the versions as the pastors do. Interestingly, this resolution was made when Dr. David Otis Fuller was alive and active on the ABWE board. I don't think this same resolution would be passed today. I'll read part of it. It was made in 1971, August 16th, 18th, minutes of the semi-annual board meeting. Believing in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, we recognize the importance of careful scrutiny of various Bible translations and versions, along with paraphrased editions, to determine which of these is true to this doctrine in its text. In many cases, translators who do not believe in plenary verbal inspiration feel no necessity for a literal translation. Along with many biblical scholars of a reverent and fundamentalist persuasion, we believe a number of popular versions and or translations, along with some paraphrased editions, to be unworthy of public use either from the pulpit, in teaching ministry, writing, or personal work, because in many parts they are not true translations. And in not a few instances, such passages are perverted to the extent that they deny or detract from biblical truth. In this way, God's revelation is misrepresented to the lost, the new convert is deceived, and mature believers are denied full edification. End of quote. That's a good resolution. It goes on and names Good News for Modern Man and others. And Alcorn, in his book, page 9, he recommends the Good News for Modern Man to be one from which you might translate from. And I won't read any more of that. But let me get into the missionaries, mission administrators, and missionary translations. As the colleges go, so go the churches. I give the following correspondence to help relate the influence that this critical view of the received text in King James has had on missionary principles of translation and translation results. This is from a letter. I had been field council chairman many times, and I photocopied some of these letters. That's another poor way to run a mission, is through field councils, if I dare say. If I ever started a mission organization, God forbid, I would never have field councils. The only thing I saw good out of those is when it was time to go home. May 4th, 1979, this gentleman was the president, the principal of our Bible college. And he says, our new prospectus simply says that we follow the policy of intelligent selection for spatial purposes. Don't you like that? Intelligent selection for spatial purposes. We will advocate the use of the King James Version in church services for some uniformity, but we shall select several other versions for spatial purposes. Now, this was May 4th, 1979. We arrived on the field Valentine's Day, February 1979. So some of these things were just going on in our first year, and under our system with the mission, we could not vote that first year. He goes on writing, We have not gained anything on this field by constantly avoiding the issue and riding the fences. Especially as a training college, we must take the position which we believe to be thoroughly in accord with the facts and with the truth and defend it where necessary. And of course, that was with the critical text. This missionary is certainly not of my persuasion, nor of the Dean Burgon. Then he writes, "We will follow the policy of intelligent selection for spatial purposes." End of quote. Does that mean we who disagree are unintelligent? I ask. In 1979, this missionary said they advocated the use of the King James and the churches for uniformity. But that's not true today. There are, in fact, our first two churches started in Sydney had in their constitution, "We will use only the King James for ministry use." Today we have at least one of our churches started by the veteran missionary that had that in its constitution. The second church uses nothing but the NIV. Now, this missionary that I have just quoted sees the version issue as something that must be dealt with, and a position was therefore made, and we could not vote. This position was made by the Australian Field Council in May 1979, I'm reading. It was moved and seconded that our Australian Field Council position on modern versions is basically in accord with pages 88 to 92 of Dr. Wallace Allcorn's book, Regular Baptist Press, Knowing and Using the Bible, passed unanimous. Australian Field Council 528-79, in the light of the above book and Dr. Ebersole's letter, Dr. Ebersole, May 15th, the following modern version seemed best for use in Australia. NIV, the name International makes it very acceptable. New American Standard, New Berkeley, used internationally by the Gideons. The Papua New Guinea Field Council passed a similar motion. Now listen, that happens all around the world, at least as far as ABWE is concerned. And I'm sure that it happens in many, many other cases of other missions. August 10, 1979, another letter. While scarcely a modern scholar seriously defends the superiority of the received text. Now, doesn't that sound nice? This is from that same missionary. He's gone home to glory now. As the colleges go, so go the churches, the pastors, and the missionaries. Now I'm quoting from a missionary administrator. Now this is kind of like a paid boss over missionaries. And this is just one of the hierarchical type ladders that you churches send money into a mission organization and you say, let the experts do it. Let me tell you, folks. I'll tell you where the experts are. They're either in your local church or on the foreign field. Don't let them ever kid you they only call the best ones home to serve in the home office. You start asking questions. I'm not looking for a job in anybody's home office. I'm just telling you, they don't call always the best ones home to the home office. May 15, 1979, Russ Ebersole writes to the field, "I had read Wally Allcorn's summary of the versions prior to receiving the copy you sent and really feel, here he is, quite comfortable with what he said. And, of course, I also feel very comfortable with what you stated in your May 4th letter and feel that this is quite an accurate and fair representation of what our ABWE board would say on the subject." Now, I don't know if he went to the board, which is made up of 23 people. I know he did, and found out if they were all comfortable. I asked Dr. Carl, I believe it was Carl L. Gina, to come and preach for me, and he couldn't do it at that time, and I told him where we stood, and he wrote back and he said, "That's a good stand." He said, "I wish more of our brethren would hold that stand." He's on our board. If he agrees with what was going on in this communication, he was lying to me. This administrator feels quite comfortable with what Dr. Wallace Allcorn wrote. I don't. Of course, Allcorn is basically against the King James. The pastor I quoted earlier wouldn't feel comfortable with my stand for the received text and the King James, but this mission administrator feels comfortable in the critical text camp. And more and more and more, communication from at least our home office, used to be our home office, is using the NIV. A letter of September 17, 1979. "I was also interested," Russ Ebersole writing, "I was also interested in your note regarding the feelings of your board that it would be wise if you could find other premises for the school rather than the Grace Baptist Church." That's where it had been meeting. And in that church constitution, it said we would use only the King James Bible for ministry use. "I was sorry to hear that Ron, who was the pastor of that church, now in a church that uses only the King James, The pastor in this church takes a good, strong stand just like we do. I was sorry to hear that Ron has evidently taken a strong position on this TRAV issue. Now, that really gets me. Here is a brother that would get up and talk and talk and talk against the King James. In fact, he brought to the field council the motion to have three versions. The King James wasn't even mentioned. And here he's saying, I was sorry that here's a brother that took a strong position on the TR and AV issue. Isn't that usually the way it is? You can take a strong position the other way, but don't stay where you stand when you stand where we stand. And I trust that this will not sever in any way his relationship with our team of missionaries there. I'm afraid it always severs relationships. Not because we make it, but because they usually do. It's all right to take the broad view, but don't take the narrow and right view. April 19, 1988, this letter was sent to me by a mission administrator, Mr. Amstutz, Dr. Amstutz, in answer to my questions concerning the translation work being done in Bangladesh and the ABWE booklet, By the Word. Terrible. How much time do I have?
18 minutes.
Well, he writes me this letter telling me that they are not taking liberties under the heading of dynamic equivalency. The ABWE does not endorse this kind of translation exercise. That's a lie. Missionary translation. The field council system gives the missionary translator relief to do as they want to do. This is from By the Word, Dr. Lynn Silvernail. She received her honorary doctorate from Grace Baptist Seminary. They're probably the only ones, I trust, that would give her an honorary doctorate for what they did. And they say this. She says this. The translator and I found we were experiencing a considerable degree of frustration because we were making all these adjustments. They should have had frustration. They should have been setting up at night and worrying about this. This is when we realized that we needed to have a well-defined set of guiding principles which would give us direction as to what specific types of adjustments in Bengali are acceptable for faithful translation. We worked out a list of 35 principles dealing with the types of adjustments mentioned in this paper, plus many more. These were then approved by our entire field council. I've never been in Bangladesh with ABWE, nor do I ever want to go to Bangladesh with ABWE, but I can just imagine what went on in that field council. I'm going to read to you later a letter from the chairman of that translation committee. And it was the one that made my decision, I've got to get out of this mess. These were then approved by our entire field council in order to have greater input and agreement in the widest possible forum. Having these guidelines relieved our frustration and made the decision-making much easier. You need to get David Cloud's booklet on this thing of dynamic equivalency. And that's exactly what they did. And they got field council approval to do wrong. To do wrong. Listen, my friends, you can always find counsel to do whatever you want to do. You just look around long enough. Freedom of interpretation. Again, I refer back to a letter written by an administrator, Dr. Amstutz, April 19, 1988. He says, I am sure you recognize, and this was a photocopy to a pastor. I had written Dr. Russ Ebersole about my concern over By the Word and the Bengali translation. Dr. Ebersole, all he did was photocopy some letters that Dr. Amstutz had written a pastor here in the States about his concerns. This pastor had been concerned. I am sure you recognize that every translation has a certain amount of what they call dynamic equivalency. It is simply impossible to give a word-for-word translation in every language of the world. On the other hand, there are many people today who take liberties under the heading of dynamic equivalency and put their own interpretation or adapt to culture and contextualize the scriptures. ABWE does not endorse this kind of translation exercise. That's not true. And By the Word, page 41, we read where Lynn Silvernail writes that I advise the translator to refer to a modified literal English version while he is working from the Bengali version. And again, she says, a reliable English or other language version, which was the work of a committee of evangelical scholars. She never did say what English version. I knew. The reason for this is that good translation involves careful exegesis of the Greek or Hebrew text and a huge amount of interpretation. Now, Dr. Anstis just said that they didn't do that. Four times on page 41, she mentions the word interpretation. And we'll find out they used the NIV. The reliable English version, Dr. Silvernail, I say here, used was the NIV. Is it any wonder she was so free to interpret? Even Jay Adams, who uses the New Berkeley, sees the fault of the NIV. He writes in page 160 of More Than Redemption, quote, "Unfortunately, the translators of the NIV had a proclivity for settling exegetical questions in their translations, thereby becoming interpreters rather than translators," end of quote. Missionary translator freedom and changing and adding words. This is again by ABWE, by the word, pages 31 through 33. The source language, SL pronouns, frequently had to be changed into nouns, and vice versa to give clear and natural reference to participants. That's what they did with the NIV, isn't it? She goes on to say, in the Bengali translation, we have to identify many proper nouns, such as place names with an appropriate classifier in order for them to be understood. Jerusalem City, Jordan River, Galilee Province. They had to do that. We face the problem of Christian words. I didn't know that. That is, words used only by Christians in a religious context and not generally known to non-Christians. Do you understand that? Since our goal was for this translation to be intelligible to non-Christians, what were any of us before we got saved? As well as Christians, we avoided the Christian words and used words or phrases which would give some meaning to non-Christians. Instead of using the Bengali literary word for salvation, we used a phrase made up of common words meaning deliverance from sin. How to express theological terms and concepts like righteousness, justification, propitiation. And on down here, she says, and I thought I'd never read this from what I thought which were fundamentalists. Many translators also face the problem of finding a way to talk about something which doesn't exist in the culture of the target audience and for which the language has no word. How do you talk about sheep to people who have never seen sheep and have no word for such an animal? Now, that was spoken of this morning, wasn't it? I didn't even ask them what they did there. From the booklet, Making of a Contemporary Translation, pages 182, 183, this deals with the NIV. Palmer, the other men that made up the NIV. They talk about changing words, and I'll just mention one, you'll get the book and you can read this. But they talk about to bring out the interrelatedness of the two terms, Isaiah 1:13. The NIV makes the first noun an adjective. So they just freely changed this all the way through. So I can see, and you can see, the resemblance between the two translation principles, the ABWE Bengali translation, is based on the UBS Greek text and the English language NIV. Not only that, but the United Bible Society's paid, financed, the translating, the printing of the ABWE Bengali translation. That leads into separation. Correspondence from the Translation Committee Chairman, 13th of March, 1992. I had written him just some simple questions. He wrote back, he said, one, this is Russ Ebersole's son. I couldn't believe he'd write such stuff. Our standard Bengali New Testament is based on the United Bible Society's text. However, we have included passages such as John 8, 1 through 11. This is something somebody mentioned this morning. They will include those, won't they? Or many fundamentalists may not buy them. And Mark 16, 9 through 20, as well as certain other traditional readings. It is my belief that God has preserved His Word miraculously in all cases. Thus, Byzantine, Western, and Alexandrian manuscripts have all been preserved by God. Each tradition has preserved an extremely, though not equally, accurate rendition of God's Word. The amazing miracle. And Dr. Hollywood spoke upon the miracle. Well, here's one. The amazing miracle is their similarity, not their divergence. The New Testament translation was made from the United Bible Society's Greek text. Though comparisons were made to all major versions, The Bengali translator of the Old Testament used the NIV as a working base. Now listen to this. Since she could not understand the English versions, which placed a greater emphasis on formal equivalents such as New American Standard and King James. This is a translator. I thought we wanted translators. The Old Testament is based primarily on the Masoretic text, BHS. Though readings from the Septuagint and other versions have been incorporated where the Masoretic is obviously corrupt. You get that? I asked them about their fellowship with the Bangladesh Bible Society because I found out they were with the United Bible Society. And he writes, the Bangladesh Bible Society is a member of the United Bible Society. However, it should be noted that the Bangladesh Bible Society is a conservative organization headed by believers. That's new evangelicalism, my friend. That's wishy-washy. That's exactly what Brother Lamore was telling us. It's that circle where new evangelicalism and fundamentalism, they come together and you have pseudo-fundamentalism. And that's what we've got here. This gentleman goes on to say, in Bangladesh, we are committed to ABWE's stand on separation, because I'd asked them about their stand with the Baptist Union of Australia, of New South Wales, which is not separated, has charismatics in it. I asked them about their fellowshipping with the Southern Baptists, because we had a missionary that resigned in Africa because of ABWE's participation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, he wrote back, the chairman of the Field Council wrote me back and said they only have personal fellowship, no organic fellowship. But this man writes, in Bangladesh we are committed to ABWE's stand on separation. The proper implementation of the biblical principles of separation from sin and apostasy will vary with each individual, situation, and culture. That's from fundamentalists. And they fired me. I have often found the critical view of the King James Bible and the received text leads to a more loose separation stand. Not always, but generally that's what I have found. The men on the field that I served with did not take a clear-cut stand on the Word of God. In fact, the gentleman, he was an Australian. He resigned from ABWE. He was in the Gambia, came back to Australia. I had him candidate at my church because we were coming home to resign. We sat down with him. He saw in our Constitution we used only the King James. And we questioned him, and he said he would use anything. He had no problem with the King James, but he said this. He was not sure if we could say definitely that we had the Word of God in English. He carried along to preach with a parallel Bible. He wanted to make sure he had it all, I guess. Now, my friend, he's a graduate of some school in... He's a medical doctor, and he took Bible college in Sydney Missionary Bible College there, and then went to the GRBC seminary out in Tacoma. And he said a thing like that. The Bengali translation was not only based on the NIV and United Bible Society's Greek text, but financed by the United Bible Societies. That is a breakdown in Bible separation. There is much documentation showing the apostasy of the United Bible Societies. And I ask, should a fundamental mission use this organization? Money always speaks, doesn't it? Satan has duped many, including fundamentalists, into accepting a disguised Bible in English and in other languages. He's done this down through the ages. One mission administrator told me, John White was the gentleman, that the versions was a side issue. I do not agree. We are forced to take a position. One cannot walk the fence. God has given us His whole Word, and the details of those words are very important. And we must not give people crumbs or, worse yet, polluted bread, but we must give them the bread of life. And I personally believe the King James Bible is the Word of God in English, and the Greek text underlying the King James Bible is the superior Greek text. And I believe this, that those of us who take this stand should seek the support with our prayers and our money. What keeps many of these organizations going is money. If you send money, you ought to stop.
Right.
We ought to support with our prayers and finances only those colleges. As the colleges go, so go the churches. Only those colleges, those movements, associations, those mission agencies, and those missionaries who stand where we stand.